I do not have a YouVersion Bible app because we're just going to be in one book today. It's going to be in John chapter 15. So if you all want to turn there. I was trying to prepare something specifically for Memorial Day. And I served in the military, and I know people that have devoted their lives to serving our country, and many lives have been lost and sacrificed so that all of us could have freedom. And as I think about that, I think more and more about what Christ did on our behalf, the sacrifice he made. I have something I want to share with you that I read this week. It's from a blog called The One Thing, and the title is Remembering the Importance of Sacrifice This Memorial Day. And the author of this is Gary Keller. And so I want to read this to you. It's pretty good. There are 10 federal holidays, all of which have one thing that sets the day apart from the other 364 days of the year. For Memorial Day, the one thing that matters most is sacrifice. The last Monday in May of each year, we acknowledge those that have made the ultimate sacrifice for our country. Memorial Day honors the men and women of our military that have given their lives to protect our great nation. In case you're wondering about the origins of this day of remembrance, anybody know when it began? The holiday began in Waterloo, New York in 1866. This was a year after the end of the Civil War. On May 5th, the town closed up all the shops so that people could spend the day decorating and tending to the graves of the soldiers and sailors. Around the country, communities began holding their own annual memorials to honor the 600,000 men killed during the war. John A. Logan, a general during the Civil War and leader of a veteran organization afterward, is credited with helping Memorial Day become a national holiday. In 1868, he called on other veteran organizations to recognize May 30th as Decoration Day, a time to honor the fallen by decorating their graves with flowers and flags. For over a century, through World War I and World War II, Memorial Day was celebrated on May 30th. It wasn't until 1971 that Memorial Day became an official federal holiday to remember all those that lost their lives while protecting our country. In order to reach your one thing, and that was the title of his blog, it's called One Thing. In order to reach your one thing, you have to say no repeatedly or you risk derailing your focus. When a citizen makes the decision to join the military, we recognize that they are saying no to many other aspects of life that may be taken for granted. They are saying no to the choice of what they will wear to work. They are saying no to valuable time with their families. They are even saying no to deciding where they live and where they will build their lives. It is a sacrifice that most will never know. But their greatest sacrifice is protecting the freedom of others at the expense of their own safety. When we think about these people, some of whom we will sadly never meet, and what they have done for us, it's nothing short of remarkable. Their devotion to their country and willingness to make the greatest sacrifice of all is something that we all believe is inspirational. It reminds me of John 15, verse 13, one of the greatest texts I think I've ever read about friendship and love. Jesus said that greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. No greater love. And I want to spend some time in this book of John, chapter 15, this morning, because I think there's some really inspirational truths about what it means to truly sacrifice out of love. When we think of Christ, the thing that resonates with most people is that he died on a cross. Many people question whether he died for them. Many people say he was just a man. He was misled. He was misfortunate. He led a rebellion against the Roman Empire, and so they crucified him. And that's not what happened at all. Jesus willingly went up to that cross and gave his life for each of us. That was sacrificial love. When he spoke this to his disciples, he was explaining to them what it meant to love, what it meant to put others above yourself. He was preparing them for ministry. So many times Jesus would make these statements that later on the disciples would probably look back on, and all of a sudden they got it. I'm not sure they got it at this point in time until they actually saw their Messiah up on the cross dying for their sins. And when he came back to life, I'm sure all this became more familiar with what he was saying to them. He often spoke in parables. He often said, "How dull are you?" to his disciples. We all have the whole story in our hands called the Bible, and so we can see the beginning to the end. But keep in mind, these disciples at this time had no idea. Jesus was explaining the future to them of what he was about to do on their behalf, and not just their behalf, but our behalf as well. It is a sacrificial, selfless, true love, and this love is what we as Christians are called to demonstrate in our own lives. I find this harder and harder to do sometimes. As we go through life, especially if you're getting up in age like I am, you tend to run into people or have relationships where something's taken place and you've been hurt, or people have used you, or people have taken advantage of you, or something has happened to cause great pain in your life. And the older you get, the more you can look back on those relationships. And you begin to have doubts in humanity. You begin to have doubts in people. And you're like, how can I love people that are so cruel? How can I love people that are destructive, that have hate in their hearts? How can I love those kind of people? And then I think about Jesus. It was no different for him. People despised him. People hated him. People were wicked. People said cruel things to him. People lied to him. People put him on trial. They put thorns on his head and nailed him to a cross and mocked him and spit on him and punched him and whipped him. All because he wanted to just love other people. And this is the Christ that is saying these words to us today. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. I think about that and I'm like, Jesus didn't just lay his life down for his friends. He laid it down for his enemies too. He had that much love that he could see past that hurt. He could see past that hatred. He could see past the things that people were doing to others. Because when it comes down to it, we're all just a bunch of wounded souls. Something has transpired in our life to make us feel that way. And the people that hate, the people that say horrible things, the people that are mocking you, the people that hurt other people are wounded souls too. Something's happened in their life to make them that way. It's not just who they are. And Jesus saw that. He saw past that bitterness. He saw past the mockery. He saw past the hate. He saw past all the ugliness of the heart of the human. And he found good. And he said, I'm going to lay down my life for them too. And it reminds me of what a sacrifice. If I could just love like Christ could, if I could look at all those people who have said horrible things to me or have mocked me or have spit at me, who have said mean things to me, if I can just look past that and see that there's a human there and be willing to love them the same way that Christ did, what kind of world would we have today? It'd be an incredible world. We're all wounded people. We're all hurt in one way or another. We're all under this wicked world, and we respond in different ways to it. What Jesus was trying to tell his disciples here is that to love this way, you have to have Christ. You have to have Christ in your heart in order to love this way and see past the human hatred. Jesus said that as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. You see, this kind of love is divine. I know that until I had Christ in my life, there is no way I could see past people's ugliness and see through their heart the way God does. I know there was no way I could love my enemies without Christ in my life. But when we truly bring them into our life, just as the Father was in His, and we allow their love to manifest in us in a divine nature, we can love past the hate. We can sacrifice, we can put self down and elevate others and show them who God truly is. We can show them the love of God. People so badly want to feel that, they want to see that. There are so many people I know that have never felt loved in their lifetime. God's love is a pure love. And He calls all Christians to demonstrate that in this world. And we miss it too often. We're so caught up in our own world, our own thoughts, our own concerns, and we forget that we are called to live for Christ. There are so many hurt souls, so many people that don't know what love really is, and so many people have never felt that from God. And He's called us to be that in the light of this world. It is God's divine nature that manifests in ourselves, that gives us the ability to sacrifice and to love others regardless of how they feel about us or regardless of what they say to us. In John chapter 15, verse 5, does somebody want to read that? Amen. He's saying He's the vine. How many in here are farmers? Anybody ever grow anything on a vine? No? We're trying, right? Yeah, we have one little green bean. We're pretty excited about that. Without the vine, nothing grows. The vine is the support system. It's what brings all the nutrients in the water up to the fruit, right? And so without a vine, no fruit's going to grow. You have a vine that's dead, the fruit's dead. Jesus said, I am the vine. Apart from me, you will do nothing. In other words, the kind of love He's demonstrated, the kind of power He's demonstrated, we cannot achieve without Him in our lives. He has got to be the vine in our lives. If you want to love like Christ, you've got to have Christ in your life. He is the true source. The outcome of that is truly the ability to demonstrate godly love. I look at the disciples in the New Testament. I look at the book of Acts. And I look at the epistles of Paul and the epistles of John and the epistles of Peter. And these were men that were under great persecution. These were men that had hits on their lives. There were people that were marked targets to be persecuted and to be tortured and to die. And yet they continue to love others. The only way they can do that is by being part of that vine, by being attached to the vine, which was Jesus Christ. We got to draw into Christ. We got to allow Him to be our source of life. Too often when we get hurt, what do we tend to do? We tend to push away. We don't only push away from others, we push away from Christ too. Am I right? Yeah? I've been there too. What He's saying is you got to draw into me. That's where you're going to get your strength. Don't push me away. Draw into me. I've already forgiven you of all your sins. I can take away all these problems in your life if you draw into me. It's about sacrifice. It's about sacrificial love. In Galatians 5, 24 through 25, it said that those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Jesus demonstrated this in his life. And he was an excellent teacher because the 12 that followed him, actually that became 11, became very good examples of his life later on. They showed the kind of sacrificial love that Jesus demonstrated to them. They remained in Christ. They walked with Christ. They knew Christ. And they reflected their life to reflect Christ to those around them. I think of the hardships and the things that they've gone through and the sacrifices they made to bring the love of God to those outside. Man, do I wish my life would be somewhat of a reflection of that. I'm in a very comfortable life. I don't have to struggle. I don't have to worry about persecution. I don't have to worry about being put in jail or being flogged. And I'm in such a comfortable life and I have all the freedom in the world to bring Christ to others. Why am I not doing that more? Why am I not making sacrifices to bring the love to others the way Christ did for me? That's the question we all should be asking ourselves. One of the statements in John 15 that often baffled me can be found in verses 10 and 11. Anybody want to read those two verses? Okay.
If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete.
I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you. You ever try to put your mind around that? I have many times. One of the things we search for the most in this world is joy. We try to find glimpses of joy in a dark world. It seems like all the things outside of Christ, liquor, drugs, sex, money, power, fame, you name it, are a way for us to find joy, to find some type of gratification in this world, to find something to take our problems away. Am I right? And what is Jesus saying here? That if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love and you will find joy. Those words are so true, but so difficult. Right? So true, but so difficult. He's saying if we love one another the way he has loved us, we will find joy in this world. You know why? Because everything opposite of joy keeps us from loving others. Bitterness, anger, hatred. All of those things stored up in our heart rob us of our joy. When we can dump those at the foot of the cross and sweep them aside and love sacrificially like Christ loved, we're going to find joy. The outcome of loving another sacrificially, unconditionally, is joy. You will find joy in that. You will find peace in your heart if you're able to do that. Bitterness, hatred, slander, all these things that are opposite of the cross. They're going to rob you of your joy. We all know that, right? But yet we hold on to those things sometimes. It's so hard to let them go. And so what do? We try to find sacrificial ways or artificial ways to deal with that. We turn to all kinds of other things that are bad for us. When all we got to do is just hand it to the cross, give it to Christ. Say, I want to be able to love like you, Jesus. I want to be able to turn my heart from this ugliness into a heart of joy, to celebrate life, to celebrate what you've done for me on the cross, to live abundantly the life that you've given me. We can't do that if we're holding on to that stuff. Because it's a choice. Look, we've all been hurt in this room. Every one of us. Somebody's hurt us one way or another. Sometimes they're so deep. I've been hurt. I promise you, I've been hurt many times by people that I love the most. And it happens. It happens to us all. And I can hold on to that. And I can let that fester in my life. And I can let that tear me up and steal my joy and make me be miserable in this world. Or I can look at the cross and say, you know what? Jesus came for this purpose. He came to take that from me. Here you go, Jesus. I want you to have this, and I want to find joy in you. I know it sounds simple when you say it, and it's hard when you do it. But I'm telling you, if you want to find that joy, and you want to be able to love like Christ and be able to put others before yourself and truly walk in freedom, that's what it's going to take. I've turned to many of things in my life that were not good for me, thinking that it was going to drown my problems away. Never did. Just made them worse. Only now I got to deal with them with a headache. So, the good news is this, that Jesus came and died on a cross, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. Because he wanted to make things right for us. Because he wanted to make a great sacrifice, because there was only one way. Jesus said, if you could take this cup from me, take it, Lord. But he knew that this was the only way. And so he sacrificed himself out of love. And I'm so thankful. He said, if you keep my commands. Now, I want to point out that these verses are not talking about salvation here. Many times we look at this and say, what does that mean? If I don't keep your commands, I'm going to hell? That's not what he's saying here. These people were already saved. They were his followers. They had faith in him. He's addressing his disciples. He's saying, if you want to truly serve me or follow me, you have to deny yourself. Your life is no longer about your mission, it's about God's mission. It's like when I was in the military. When we signed up for military, you signed a contract. And in that contract, you're forfeiting your life. You're forfeiting everything about your life and giving it to Uncle Sam, the government. And I remember signing that contract, and they made it very clear to you right after you signed that they owned you. Made it very clear. You now belong to us. You can forget everything about your life. We are going to tear everything down about you that you know about yourself. And we're going to turn you into somebody that's going to put your brothers first. And that's how they survive. Willingly doing that. Now, I had my own personal reasons for joining the service. Number one, I always felt it was important to serve your country in some way. Number two, I had a child on the way, and I didn't have insurance, and I had to find some way of taking care of my child. To me, that was a sacrifice. Number three, I knew that I had a lot of growing up to do. And I knew some discipline would be good for me, and so that's another reason I joined the military. But once I got in there and I recognized that there were other people like me that were there for the various reasons, we became a brotherhood. We learned to hold each other up in the most difficult circumstances. We learned to not throw another person under the bus, but to pull them out of the bus. We learned what it meant to sacrifice for another human being. And I think of all the men and women that have gone before us in the service and have done that for our freedom. And then I think about Christ, who has done that for our freedom. And I'm telling you what, I will never, ever regret the decision I made that day to join the military. I have learned from that. It has changed me. It has shaped me. It has molded me. But more importantly, my decision to serve Christ. I've given up my life when I signed the dotted line and said, I want you, Jesus. I've agreed to die to self and to live for Christ when I did that. And I'll never regret it. I'll never look back and say, I wish I wouldn't have signed up for this army. We're all in this together as Christians. And we need to hold each other up. We need to put others above ourselves. We need to make sacrifices sometimes, even in tough situations. But that's what it means to love like Christ. Too often we think of love as an emotion. True love is a decision. It's a decision that we make on a daily basis to put another person above us or not. Because emotions will come and go. Emotions are often lies. They steer us to make bad decisions a lot of times. But to truly love is a decision that we have to make in our heart that says, hey, I'm going to choose whether I want to or not, whether I have a bad day or I don't have a bad day, I'm going to choose to love like Christ. That's what sacrificial love is. I think that a marital relationship is the greatest gift God has given us in a sense that it teaches us what that means. That's why when they call elders, they say you must have a devoted home. You must be in a single marriage and devoted to your spouse. Why? Because if you can't love those in your family, how in the world are you going to love those outside of your family? That's what we're called to do. It's my desire and my prayer and my wish that God will help me to love like He loves. Because sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes I let that bitterness get into my life. And sometimes I just don't want to. But God willing and God on my side, I know I can. And I know each of you can too. So that's what the church is called to be. It's to sacrifice, to love others the way Christ loved. Amen. Let me go ahead and close this in prayer, guys.